Don't say.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
This episode of the Disciplined Investor is sponsored by Horowitz & Company. If you're looking for a portfolio manager, look no further. Horowitz & Company, from seed through harvest, cultivating financial success.
Welcome aboard to the Disciplined Investor Podcast, episode number 192. Andrew Horowitz here towards the end of the year. And I thought, what a great time to bring in some fresh ideas, maybe things that you haven't thought about before for the new year. And we brought in Scott O'Neill, who is the president of MarketSmith and also works a bit with investors, Investors Business Daily, knows a lot about that. But basically, I wanted to kind of get your mind thinking in a different way than usual. When you read the newspapers and you read a lot of analyst reports and you look at things that come out on the news, so often they're looking at things of like PE ratios. They're looking at just basic earning information. They're saying, hey, the stock is low and this and that. And I hope that when we have the opportunity to get into this, that we're going to debunk some of that here today. What do you think, Scott?
Yes, Andrew, we sure will.
You and I talk a lot because one of the things that you have, and I appreciate you including me in on some of this, is this new MarketSmith, which is a kind of an upgrade of charting software, not minute-by-minute software, but it's this charting software that gives you both the fundamentals and technical levels of where a stock is and maybe some signals, et cetera, in terms of what you can develop. Now, before we get into that, I wanted to talk about the whole idea of market direction for a moment, because we know that somewhere, I don't know, like 3 out of 4 stocks will fall in a down market, 3 out of 4 stocks will move up in an up market. Rising tide raises all ships, right?
Yes.
Okay. So how do you determine the direction of a market?
Well, in its broadest sense, the stock market is really a supply and demand mechanism, and so at its most basic element, that's what we're monitoring, is the daily price in action on the major indexes, primarily the NASDAQ and the S&P 500, to a lesser extent, the Dow. And we look at, is there a lot of distribution going on, i.e. institutional selling, where at a certain point, the institutions will break it and the markets will start coming down, or if we're getting a lot of buying, a lot of demand coming in. So it's a pretty straightforward measurement, and Investors Business Daily has a little piece on the front page that monitors that exact situation every day.
Now, is there a difference these days in terms of the fact that there's more day traders out there compared to, let's say, 10 years ago? There's more ETFs. Now, here's a big issue. There's a lot more ETF investing going on. And the ETF investing can drive a volume on a market compared to maybe just institutions. Does that matter or not?
Well, you're right. These are new forms, and they might distort things to a small degree. But in the end, it's the institutions and what are they doing, and are they accumulating positions or are they lightening up? And so watching the indexes from a macro point of view, really you're able to pick up and get a feel for the strength of an uptrend, the weakness of an uptrend, vice versa. Just going back to supply and demand on a daily basis.
Right. Now, I know recently you switched over from a correction to a market in rally. And I think the latest thing I saw latter part of the week was rally under pressure, if I'm not mistaken. So my question to you is, I was kind of interested in when you went from marketing correction recently to marketing confirmed rally. It seemed like the volume was really light and the movement was very muted on that move.
Yes. Yeah, you picked up on a little detail. I will admit that it's quite difficult and tricky right now, and we're in such a news-oriented environment that you can just get blindsided out of the blue. But on this particular day you're talking about, we did switch back to a positive position, or at least our interpretation of that. We're not in the recommending business, but it was the day right before holiday, and so you had fabulous price action, and you just had light volume. And when it gets real intricate and a very, very close call, in our shop, price will trump volume. Now, that's not in a lot of situations. It's only in those real tight ones, which what you're talking about is exactly that. And the price action was very good on a lot of stocks. So that was our call.
I agree with you, and it was. And that's interesting that you mentioned that. I think that's the takeaway, that price action will beat volume. So in other words, we could say this a different way. You know, if sometimes you're on the edge, it may be better to have a stab at something if price action is working correctly than not be there, because you could always move the other direction.
Yeah, that's how we see it. We agree.
Yeah, if you're not in, you're not in. End of sentence, right?
I know
that one of the other things we talked about before, but I want to mention, and I really encourage everybody out there to read up about the CAN-SLIM methodology. It's an acronym that discusses a lot of the Investors Business Daily, William O'Neill, Scott O'Neill's way of investing. I would rather be called Can Grow, and I'm going to come up with an acronym that meets exactly your criteria, by the way, and use grow instead of slim, just to let you know that, okay?
Okay.
But, you know, that deals with obviously things like, you know, increasing growth of earnings and discussions of annual increases. We're talking about things like, you know, market conditions, talking about things like, you know, what products may be new. Classic example is Apple. I mean, you know, new products out there. It could be a biotech, new products out there. You know, it could be FedEx opening up all of a sudden, if they didn't have it, the Asian markets, new product, new design of something, for example. But the thing that I think is most interesting is when you look at stocks from all these different angles, the thing that we're really focusing on, particularly with MarketSmith, beyond the fundamentals, is the technicals. And I wanted to ask you some questions. You and I have been talking about a stock, and it doesn't matter the stock. There's not a recommendation for the stock, but just a stock. Alexion Pharmaceuticals, ALXN. Clearly under the last, I don't know, let's say 2 weeks, we'll call it. It's actually been increasing in price over a good pattern, and it's under accumulation. So can you just take me for a moment through that stock, if you were to look at that and say, okay, I'm looking at a MarketSmith chart, usually on the weekly, that shows you all the good stuff on it. Can you kind of like do me a quick verbal scan of what you're seeing, why that would fit a stock that you may want to accumulate?
Sure. I pulled it up, and it's coming up in a tight every week, in a nice formation coming up. The relative strength is in new high ground, confirming the price action. I'm sorry, relative strength is where we compare all stocks, all 7,000 in our database, for the actual price activity in the stock market. How is it acting versus all of the others in the universe? And it's coming up in the 90s. That's very strong. We also have an accumulation distribution rating of B+, which says the institutions are accumulating the stock. It's a direct gauge on block activity coming from the institutions. You move over, the earnings per share rank is fair. It's at a 63. That's a tiny bit lower than we're used to. However, forward earnings guidance and the way it looks like it'll play out for the next year is very strong. And so you're getting action there. Also, we always read the story. The story is solid. And your annual earnings are picking up at a very healthy clip, where they were negative for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 prior years. They've turned the corner. And so this is a company that's coming on. It's in the biotech area, so it's a little more volatile. But the chart itself doesn't act like a biotech that's really volatile. And it's got a few consolidation areas, i.e. 2-3, more 3 weeks where it's closing tight as it's moving up, so it's consolidating those gains. It's acting perfectly.
So let's just get back to that, because a 3- and a 4-week tight is, tell me where I go wrong here, okay, on this for you. Your definition of a 3- or 4-week tight is a 3- or 4-week tight pattern where the closing price closes within a 1% range, approximately a 1% range of the other. In other words, I mean, some would call that kind of a doji closes or anything, but basically it's closing within a 1% range on the close for 3 consecutive weeks.
Yes. Okay. So what's happening in general is, let's say you're a big fund manager and you tell your trader, look, I like this stock, and so anytime it comes down, let's say into the 80 range, buy more shares for me. So they're supporting it as it's coming in, and it's never able to come in very far. And you can see institutional buying just by looking at a Market Smith chart like we're describing.
And that's important because institutions rule the world.
They are the main player.
Right. I mean, yeah. You know, you don't want to fight the Fed. You want to fight the institutions, as long as you know what they're doing. Sometimes they do things that are not exactly what they say they're doing. But so we have a 3-week tight, then you have a breakout above, then you have things like you're looking at all the different fundamentals. Gives you a thought process of whether or not I want to buy this stock. So what else is there? Is there anything else in that? I mean, because it is a biotech, you may say, okay, I'm only going to have a certain portion in my portfolio. How do you go through position sizing for a portfolio? Or how should a person go through position sizing?
Well, in our shop, we're a little more careful with the highly volatile ones or potentially volatile. And biotechs, as we know, they are. So we might take a little more modest position, whereas a big liquid apple or something, we might go in a fair bit deeper. But the key, really, the big money is made, as you know, is in holding. You know, get your position size where you're comfortable, whatever that is, wherever that is, and hold on to it for the life of the move. And then our next goal is to sell correctly, and that's a whole list of sell rules, and IBD covers those sort of rules.
Well, we can actually get into one of those sell rules right now, because it actually, I think, was correct, but then you have to go to the other side, because there's always another side of selling, isn't there? When and if do I buy again the same stock? That's a problem.
Well, now, Andrew, are we talking about buying as in initiating or adding? Because at this point, it's up and it's extended, and so it's not as safe to enter today.
Mm-hmm.
It broke out 4 days ago from a pseudo 3 weeks tight. It may form another tight pattern, and it gives you an opportunity. It's interesting you bring this up. I was just chatting with my father, Bill O'Neill, yesterday about Baidu. That could be interesting also. But he was talking about patterns where they continually creep up and never give you a perfect entry point. And he was talking about Levitt's Furniture back in the early 70s. And Baidu also did that same thing early in 09 when it started to go. Every week was a blue week on Market Smith, and it just kept coming up and up. And what that is back to your supply and demand. That's institutional buyers going in there with heavy footprints, not letting the stock come in. And while this is a slightly thinner stock, it's starting to exhibit some of those characteristics.
So let's talk about Baidu for a second, because there's two stocks that actually are interesting right now. You know, the question always happens when Baidu falls, and it fell pretty hard, about 12% from its high, below where I would say we actually owned it, and we pulled the plug on it before it broke down any further earlier in the week. But here's the question, you know, is Baidu, because now the comment was made from one of the management that they see growth as being much more difficult in the future, and that they saw the Google pop on the fact that Google was possibly thrown out of China and all that good stuff. Is there a change in the dynamic for Baidu now, or does this, you know, or are we going to get, which is no one knows yet, are we going to get another opportunity to see it base out and possibly set up so you can buy it here?
That was the exact conversation I had with Bill.
Okay.
And, you know, it's always interesting to sit down with the master and go through it and the chart. We looked at the chart. But to sum up that conversation, Remember, Baidu went from March of 2009, and you're looking at around $10 up to almost $120. So you've got this phenomenal move, and it is allowed to come in some. So I pose the question, do you think it's broken? And both of us concluded the same thing. You don't know now.
Right.
It's too early to tell. It can come in some. It came in one previous time around March 2010, somewhat near the 200-day. But you wait and see. Now, the reason you backed away from it, correctly so, is because it was showing reversal days and weeks up here at the top, and you could see it. I also was backing away. And we will wait and see. I've kept a token position to keep my attention on it because, you know, the fundamentals on it are fairly strong. Yeah, you got those comments, but we don't know yet.
Yeah, I agree. Now, another stock that exactly the same thing happened to was Acme Packet. Now we've entered and exited this a few times over the lifespan of the stock. And what's interesting is that it's another stock that really has not given you many opportunities to buy into under normal conditions, right?
Yes. It's also a little choppier. This one's a tougher one to hold.
Yeah. Well, we've held it for a while, but here's what happened. It really broke down last week. Now, one of the things that the sell rules that you have, and I'm going to bring to a point why a lot of this is fresh in my mind about the Investor Business Daily sell rules, for example. A lot of things that are, by the way, common sense and things we've used for a long time, but, you know, things that really were good. I'll give you a hint because I just finished this home study course. I'll talk about that in a second. And I did that to review it because I wanted to see, you know, if it was worthwhile for our listeners. But Acme Packet did something, didn't it? It breached its upper boundary uptrend line significantly. And when that happens, when you see almost a squirting up or sometimes, you know, that's called a gasping up. That could be a sign of an overbought situation for 100 different reasons. And when that happens, you have to kind of worry about, okay, what's happening here? Las Vegas Sands did the same thing and then came right back down through it almost equally as low and then it kind of started bringing it back up. But Acme Packet did that. Now, within 3 days, the stock started moving back up. What we did was on the day before, remember that big drop, that 9% drop of Acme last week or so? About 2 days before that, we took out half the position. We saw that it was getting overextended and not moving at that point. And we said, you know what, let's take out a half. Let's take some profits, not be greedy. And then it started coming down. We took out another half. We were left with about a 1% position, a little less than that, okay? And like you said, a token position because, you know, if you have something, whether it's psychological or not, it's sometimes easier to get back into it if you already own it.
Exactly.
Right? So we kept that, and then it moved up 3% the next day. And I said, you know, here's the thing. If we can breach this level, the closing level of last week was the last week's high close, we'll add to that position again if it comes in on volume and it looks like it's moving, you know, steadily. We did that twice, and it was up, I think, another 4.5% the next day. So, you know, we'll see where it goes, of course. But, is that the kind of situation you like to see and how to play it? Or, you know, what's your thought on that?
Well, yes, it's a little trickier up here because it's still extended and you don't have a consolidation area. But what you're saying is technically correct. It's just aggressive. I want to point out one thing on both the Packet and Baidu. I forgot on Baidu. If you look at a daily chart and you look at the volume, now you're right, that price action was pretty tough those 2 days, a reversal and then it came down more and bounced. But if the stock was truly finished, wouldn't it stand to reason that the daily volume would be huge, 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 mind-blowing huge, where numerous big players, they're all running for the exits?
Mm-hmm.
And on the Baidu, an interesting little detail is your listeners might want to get a daily chart, preferably a Market Smith chart, right? A daily chart on Baidu and look at that volume and see if it's fits the definition of huge, huge, and it doesn't. If you go left on a daily chart, you'll see five other previous days that were significantly higher. And so the jury is still out on the Baidu. And on the Packet, the volume was above average, but not a tremendous amount.
Right. You know what we're going to do? I'll put a daily chart up on the podcast show notes for this show so people can take a look at it with a link back so they can see where that's all from. So a couple of things I want to ask you before we get into my little discussion about the home study course. You have a new, brand new, and I don't think it's really been announced to the public in a big way. I don't think. Maybe it has been. But you know what? We're going to pretend it hasn't, and we're going to say it here for the first time, okay? It's the new IBD 250. It's the, or you call it the Marcus Smith 250. What are you calling it, actually?
It's, yeah, IBD is a sister company. We tap the same database, but they are completely separate companies. It's
okay.
Called the Marcus Smith Growth 250. And what it is, Andrew, is it's a comprehensive list that focuses you in on the best growth stock ideas. And it took us 6 months. The portfolio managers at William O'Neill Incorporated spent 6 months developing 30 distinct and advanced screens. They're separate, distinct screens that are designed as a whole to capture every growth theme at any point in time. And so this saves the customer a huge amount of time by delivering the ideas right to them, worthy of further research. And one other interesting detail is it's an accordion type concept. It expands and contracts based on the health of the market. So you can use it as an early indicator of the market's direction. When we got the September 15 follow through and we resumed an uptrend, 2 weeks prior, during, you know, it was a pretty tough August this year.
Mm-hmm.
The last 2 weeks of August, the book started expanding, and then it went to the ceiling of 350 names the week prior. And that's what gave me a decent boost in confidence that the follow-through would work. Remember, we got a follow-through in August during the summer, and it failed.
Right.
And so everyone was really, really skittish, but September 15 worked in the face of the media and all the opinions saying that, well, every September is terrible.
Yep.
And
yep.
Remember?
Yep, yep, I do. As a matter of fact, we looked at that and said, you know, September usually is a pretty bad month, generally speaking, you know, and going back and by all sorts of statistics. But then again, you know, that's there's always outliers. That's what makes the fun of it.
Yes.
You know? So you have this 250. So how do people use it? What do they do? I mean, what's so you have 250 names, you know, and is it ranked? You know, what how would you use it?
Well, the book has a floor of 150 names and a ceiling of 350 names. It's been running at 350 since that August, the last week of August, and it's ranked by the strongest industry group, and it only picks off the best ideas within each group and a tremendous amount of criteria for stocks to get through to qualify. And then you do your deep research.
Yep.
And so I look at page one and page two. By the way, our portfolio managers designed it for themselves. We use it, and we made it available to the public.
Oh, cool. All right, great. Good stuff. So so I wanted to, as we talked about at the top of the show, this whole idea of P/E ratio and stocks being cheap and when they should come down and when you should buy them. Everybody likes a bargain. I don't care who you are. We like to buy things on the cheap, right? It's better to buy low and sell high. On the other hand, selling higher than you bought is always good any way you want to look at it. But a lot of times you hear on the TV, in the newspaper, on radio, hey, this stock is trading, you know, 5 times earnings. It's so cheap compared to this other stock that's trading at 40 times earnings. That has been the discussion about Netflix for a long time that kept a lot of people out of Netflix, including yours truly. You know, and whether or not Netflix one day has its, you know, it's going to be that dog one day or not because of this, and it's overvalued, et cetera. But I think you have a totally different take on this. And I wonder, almost anybody in the mainstream media in terms of financial always talks about P/E ratio. Why do they do that?
Yes. And what I'm going to say completely flies in the face of conventional wisdom. We look at it completely differently. We think there's a qualitative factor to the stock market, and the better merchandise, i.e. the better stocks, cost more. And they're being bid up because in the universe that we're trying to, the stocks we're trying to buy, it's only 1 to 2% of the total stock market universe. And how many mutual funds are out there, and how many hedge funds, and how many analysts do they have? You know, they fly people all around kicking tires. They know the best merchandise out there, and they want it in their portfolio. Now, our analogy, which really sums it up, is you're a basketball coach, and you want to win, obviously. So are you going to go out and do everything you can to recruit Michael Jordan? But he's so expensive. Maybe you shouldn't spend that much money for him. Go get three rookies because they'll be a lot cheaper. How many games are you going to win? And that's how we look at stocks. For a stock to be down and have a lower PE in our book, it's down there for a reason. Something's wrong. Now, maybe they turn around, but my question is when? Meanwhile, there are some fabulous growth stocks, like you said, Netflix, and some of these others that started with high PEs, and they just keep going. Yeah. And people are sitting there on the dock when the boat set sail saying, well, gee, it was too expensive, but gee, it keeps going up. Well, it's the best merchandise out there. And so in my portfolio, I want four or five Michael Jordans from different industry groups.
Right. And you know what's interesting about that is that, PE ratio is just a relative amount. And the funny thing is that PE ratios, we know this. I like to look at certain things. I like the PEG ratio to look at, just to scan out to see what we're really dealing with here, because you're more of something that gives you some grounding in what you're looking at, because the PE ratio alone tells you nothing. In particular, I've always said this, you can't compare a PE ratio of one stock to another unless it's almost an identical stock.
Absolutely.
There's no way.
And you are dead on. It tells you nothing. A PE is a byproduct of what the stock has done and its earnings. It's not a predictor of a stock that will go up.
So why do they talk about it all the time?
I don't get it. I don't get it. I hear it. I hear it everywhere, all the time. Everyone gets bombarded with this, and the concept is not buy low to sell high, because you don't know why the stock's down there and when it's going to come back up. So the concept is buy strength, buy high to go higher. And that's your Michael Jordan. And these stocks are at a higher PE.
Yeah, a lot of times I think people are very scared of all-time highs or triple tops and things like that. Which triple tops, I mean, there's resistance points, obviously, and that's why you wait till it gets beyond a certain point on anything to get, to find out where to go on that. So, the whole PE thing is really, it's really interesting, because it becomes such a focal point in people talking about, well, the stock is trading at only four times PE, this one's trading at eight, I'd rather have this one versus that one. I'd rather have the HPQ versus Oracle. Meanwhile, Oracle's up 8% and HPQ is down 2%, as an example. Who knows? But it obviously tells you a lot about, what's really going on there. And I think the other thing is that it's more about supply and demand, I think, also. It's also about demand and more demand, right? I mean, if you have something hot and it's a product out there, everybody wants it, well, you know what? The fact of the matter is that people want what they want. And just because it may be at a certain price point, or maybe at a classic is a restaurant. There can be a great location, but a horrible restaurant, it's not going to get any business. You can have a great restaurant in the worst location in the world, it's going to be packed. So I think it's the issue of what people want and what you want to go there. And it's not always known, but that's what we have to kind of like sniff out, I think.
Yeah, I would recommend that your listeners go back to previous winners. This is something we do a lot of here. We profile back into history. In fact, our database goes back to the 1880s. Go back and look at some previous winners and look at what the PE was just before they launched and went up fivefold, tenfold. And 80% of those, roughly, are going to have higher PE than most people are comfortable with. It's
right.
A fact.
Right, right. There was actually some number I saw that you had in print. It was like an AOL when it started taking off had like a 160 or 180 PE and end up being like 400 or something ridiculous.
Yeah,
when it
500.
Yeah, when it peaked.
That
out.
Was one of our biggest positions back then. And yes, it started exceedingly high, but they were in the bubble era when all those .coms were on pro forma balance sheets. AOL was producing real earnings. So was Schwab back then. As they were going on the internet. Mm-hmm. And so we were buying them. We didn't have to take the high-risk ones that didn't have the true earnings. we were buying a lot of AOL. And yeah, the PE was well over 100. And what did it do? It expanded to 500. Now, nobody could have predicted that. We wouldn't have known that or figured that out either. It happened, but we were buying the quality leader in the area that had proven earnings.
Yeah, I mean, that was in the time of a bubble before the word bubble was invented. You know, that was before we even, that now everything's a bubble, by the way, right? We got a bond bubble, we got a China bubble, we got a, this bubble. Okay, so
more negativity for everyone to be scared.
Yeah,
meanwhile, the market creeps up.
Yep, creeping. On the IBD site, now if somebody, obviously Market Smith is a pay for to utilize, I know there's a 2-week, you still doing the trials or not? Is that over?
Yeah, we've had phenomenal response since we launched 12 weeks ago. Here, the phone number to call for Market Smith is 800-452-4422. And we have a 2-week trial, and they can ask about the Growth 250.
Mm-hmm. So the thing I wanted to mention to you was the IBD study course, and I wanted to have you on as I talked about this just to make sure I was getting this all right. But basically, it's two parts. There's a part one, part two. DVD instructional with a book along with it that takes you through the basic tenets of what you're thinking from an Investor's Business Daily / William O'Neill concept of how to invest, where are the most winners, how to look at chart patterns from a upward pattern to a, you know, from a basing pattern to a breakout pattern, the whole point of supply demand, can't slim, and it comes in two parts, basically wrapping up all the books that he has written over the years. So this is kind of good for someone who maybe, you know, for whatever reason can't read a whole book. They just don't have the, you know, desire to sit down. So at least gives you an audio visual process to help you better understand, right?
Yes, and that is the level one. We have three levels, and level one is that good broad overview. It's an hour and a half, and it's got DVDs. Then we have a level two, and that starts to get obviously more sophisticated, and we talk about buying and selling, fundamental technical analysis. And then we have a real interesting one. The level three is very sophisticated on advanced chart interpretation, in-depth selling, for instance. But Andrew, the key to all of this material is where it came from. And we studied the best winning stocks now back to 1880 in this country up to today. And what were the common characteristics of all of these great winners? What was it about them that made them explode and go up 5, 10, 20 fold?
Right.
And that's where CanSlim came from. It's really not our system. It's the factual reality of how the stock market works. And we have developed these home study courses. We have live seminars, too. Their phone number is 800-831-2525. They're very well-done programs.
I have a question for you because I want to make sure I understand something. You said there's three parts. I thought there was only two. Is the third part in the second part?
Well, actually, you're right. We just last week came out with the Level 3 Chart School program, and it's 4 hours. So the first one's an hour and a half, the second one's 3 hours, and the third one is 4 hours.
Now I'm going to have to get a copy of that to review.
Yep.
I thought I was set because I had both sides, and I was like, okay, we can review it now. Now you come out with something new. Okay, well, I'll deal with that. Yeah, you know what, folks, the whole point here is that, you know, from the beginning, what are we in? Episode 192. So if we did one a week, we're talking about 3.5-4 years. You know, we've talked about a lot of things here. We talked about economics. You heard my bitching and moaning about what's gone on over the years with the car companies, with the TARP, all the stuff that's gone on, where the problems lie. You've heard me talk about the issues concerning the dollar, gold, and obviously my continual rant on Europe. But besides all of that, we've also talked about a lot of strategies and how to actually invest, you know, to help you at home, a lot of educational materials to help you. My latest book, which you just read that, right? Didn't you read my book, The Winning Investor?
Yes.
Yeah, good. And you liked it, right? You sent me a nice little review on it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you cover the subject well.
Thank you. So, yeah, it's a very basic book. But, you know, all this is to educate you. Why? Well, I enjoy it. I mean, I enjoy imparting my knowledge. I like writing, although we're going to hold off on any more books for a while. I like writing until I wrote. I'm done for a little while. I like talking better, I think. But, you know, the whole point is to learn more because, yeah, you know, it's great to be informational, educational. You know, DH Unplugged, we talk about all the politics and all that. But at the same time, you know, what better thing than to figure out a way that you could be successful, you know, and financially independent and to impart some of the things that I have. And that's kind of, yeah, it's not altruistic. You know, we all know you can invest with me and all that good stuff. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, I think by bringing on people like Scott O'Neill, the things that he has, which is really educational, I mean, really, versus, you know, some of the other ones we bring on, The Economist. I mean, this is really to get you into the mode of how can I make money and not lose along the way? How can I, you know, do something that is more than just looking at, you know, a mutual fund only or looking at a broker to tell me some stock tips or getting those ridiculous stock tips on those penny stocks? You know, how can I really qualify and quantify what I want to buy, when I want to buy it, and, you know, not do the old, oh, I hope it goes up strategy? That never works, right?
Absolutely. The stock market is very straightforward. The time that you invest, you put in, that's what you get out. And so the more you can get yourself educated, the more you can capitalize on these tremendous opportunities. And instead of this throwing a dart at the dartboard and having other outside opinions, do the research yourself exactly as you're suggesting and spend time with it. It takes time, and there's a certain way to look at the stock market. Most people don't even look at it, and they go in and they get chopped up. They don't look at it properly, and so they're, and like the PE example. But what you put in is what you get out.
Yeah, I agree totally. All right, listen, Scott O'Neill, I want to wish you a happy and a healthy, a merry and a happy and all that good stuff. I encourage everybody to check out the things that they have available, not because, by the way, just as a point of reference, you know, Investors Business Daily, they don't give me any money. There's nothing going on here. It's just that the information they have is some of the cleanest that I have found in the industry available at a reasonable price. I mean, you know, we use a lot of products here. You know, we have subscriptions to all sorts of services. You know, just one of them is like $2,200 a month. And, you know, actually William O'Neill has a product like that, the Wanda product for institutions that you sell at, you know, very high end. This is kind of like, okay, what can I do as an individual? Where can I find something that, you know, all right, I'll pay for a little bit for it, but can give you that kind of information. So that's why I bring it to you. I think it's extremely important rather than just going to the free sites and finding the information there that's not scrubbed a lot of times, that's not corrected, that you just have, I guess, input clerks putting it on a website. You know, you don't know what's actually good and bad and where it came from. And definitely staying away from the chat rooms. the old chat rooms and the Twitter thingamajiggies that everybody's pumping and all that. So I want to thank you for joining us, Scott. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to continue talking. I look forward to, you know, seeing you in the future and keeping up the good work. I appreciate it.
Take care, Andrew.
I appreciate
you.
It. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was great. You know what I thought we'd do? We've been talking a lot over the last number of episodes about all about the economy, the markets, individual stock selection concepts. I thought we'd just spend a few minutes towards the end of the year talking about some things that will maybe help you along with understanding, following, tracking the markets, your stocks, etc. Before we do that, I just want to mention that we're going to end the year this year with Frank Curzio. You know, Frank has been one of the, I think, one of the favorite guests of listeners out there. So I thought what we'd do is we would spend some time with Frank talking about, you know, what's happened through 2010 and some outlook for 2011. Now, a lot of people are on vacation towards the end of the year. You have Christmas, you have holidays coming up, New Year, of course. But make sure to download that episode because Frank and I have been talking about, you know, what to look for 2011 in terms of many of the economics, some of the speed bumps that we may have to worry about, the potholes, if you will. And we're going to spend some time talking about all the things that he has on his mind and the list of things that we have also. So opportunities that may be able to present themselves through all of this in 2011 beyond, and some of the things that you may want to look for in terms of warning signs. So there's both of those out there that you need to be aware of, and we're going to try to dig some of that out and talk through that. But one of the things that I wanted to do in closing this episode and talking about this in this episode is, what do I look at from a mobile app standpoint? I use the iPhone, you know, of course, is the Android, the BlackBerry, a lot of different things out there like the iPad and other devices that you can use. But I thought from the perspective of what I use on a daily basis and very regularly on my iPhone, I thought I'd share with you. If you have any ideas, any things that you think that are great applications, whether it's for an Android or BlackBerry or anything else, please make sure to send those to me for a review. I've always enjoyed looking at those. Just send your questions or that information to askandrew@thedisciplinedinvestor.com. All right, so here's what I have. When I have all of everything's in a little folder called finance. So let me just take you right through each of them, not many of them, and what I use them for. The first thing I have is Simplex FX. It is a live currency application that gives you cross currency rates live updated when the markets are open of many different currencies, the US, the Euro, the Yen, the Swiss franc, etc. And what's nice about this is that when you utilize it, you can just push the button, it opens up, it gives you a list of the currencies, how they're trading. It continually tick by tick updates. And if you click on one of the currency pairs and then rotate your screen, it will give you, let's say, a 5-minute or a 30-minute or a 1-day chart with some little tools to give you support and resistance points. Very nice application. No news, nothing else, but simply the cross-currency rates. Now, let me skip ahead for a second to Bloomberg. Now, Bloomberg, which is a free app also, has a currency component to it as well, but it is not live updated, and we think it's delayed. Same thing with many of its stock and market numbers, whether it's the domestic markets or international markets, commodities, they're delayed. So when you want real-time data for currencies, I think Simplex FX, I believe there's a free one and a paid one, is the way to go. You can even set up some of your own little portfolios in there to see how your trading goes on a free basis. So that's kind of interesting. Bloomberg. Now, Bloomberg is a must-have for news. Bloomberg updates very regularly all the news headlines from around the world. You can set it up to actually select any of the news areas that you want, whether it's things like stocks or bonds, fixed income, worldwide news, just emerging markets, just news on oil and gas, just news on retail. You can click off the box in the setup to give you any of the news that you want, and then you can arrange it any way that you want. So if you want to, say, have retail news at the top of the news headlines for yourself, well, you can have that. And they're all very easily collapsible, so you can then look at what you want to look at. And again, that updates regularly through the system of Bloomberg. That's free. Now, they also have the Bloomberg Markets area. And in the Bloomberg Markets area, they cover things like equity indices, commodities, bonds, currencies, and futures, equity futures. There's also a My Stocks section where you can track a fictitious portfolio, if you will, and a Stock Finder area. So in general, I think that Bloomberg is a must-have when you look at that. They also have things like audio. You can listen to many of the downloads of the or you can listen to live the podcast they have, Bloomberg Surveillance, On the Economy, Taking Stocks, etc., all built in to the Bloomberg application. Bloomberg has applications, I believe, not only for the iPhone, but for the Android as well, and I think for the RIM. Okay, so those are two must-haves in my opinion. Again, I look at currency, live currency information on Simplex FX, and then news, etc. on Bloomberg. I also look at news on the Thomson Reuters News Pro. Now, there's a few different ones that may come up when you look this up, but it's the Thomson Reuters News Pro. It is free. And what I like this for is a much more general review of the news. That's what I could look at it. So there is business news, there's individual stock news, but when you want to look at a much broader picture of the news out there from a business standpoint, I like to look at Thomson Reuters. Again, that's divided into several sections like U.S. news or just worldwide news. It also has a little cute feature called pictures where you can kind of scroll through some pictures that they took, videos that's on their system. They also have a market section and a stock section. I prefer, you know, everybody has their own preference, but I prefer when you look at individual markets to take a look at the Bloomberg system, the Bloomberg app. I think it's a much cleaner looking application overall. And I think it's kind of more compact and easily digestible. But the Thomson Reuters news is a great tool to utilize. Now, when I think about this, I'm going to go back and forth because I want to explain how I integrate all these. So again, just back to the currency that's live, Simplex FX, Bloomberg for current news, some market oversight. I use the Thomson Reuters News Pro just to find out what's going on around the globe in terms of business items, etc. When I want to get down to more about the equity index futures in the U.S., individual stock positions, as well as markets that are live, I use the CNBC app. The CNBC app is great for looking at your portfolio because there's live updates pre- and post-market as well as during the day. The information is live, not delayed. So the stocks in your portfolio, you can track in there and you can track several different portfolios. They also have a market section that gives you information on pre-markets and indices, stocks on the move, etc. Now, I really, frankly, don't like their news section. I don't see how it fits. It doesn't make any sense to me because the news is old and it really is just, I guess, covered haphazardly. So I just don't even look at the news anymore when it comes to the CNBC app. I just use it for a data stream of information when it comes to the markets and the stocks. So individual stocks and individual markets. I think CNBC is the best for that. And then finally, there's two other points I look at. NewYorkTimes.com or New York Times application is generally free. I think they're going to keep it free for a little while at least. And again, from a business standpoint, a much broader, again, back from a Thomson Reuters, which has a broad view of the news, New York Times, even a broader view of worldwide and business news that's good to check every once in a while. And then from economics, what I've done is created an icon very simply for Econoday, Econoday. And if you go to Econoday on your iPhone in Safari and you click save as icon and then move it into a folder, a icon will come up called My Econoday. And that is a great place to use for daily mobile-oriented economic data. In other words, the data is mobile-oriented, so you can see what's happening on a daily basis. So if you were to scroll through there on a next, and look at daily information that's coming out, let's say next week on Tuesday, we have, I can think it's Wednesday. We have MBA purchases, GDP, corporate profits. And if you clicked one of them, for example, GDP, it gives you a definition of what GDP is, why investors care about it, the importance of it, the interpretation of it, and oftentimes it gives you the sources and the frequency and even what the estimates are going into it. So when you look at all of that and you take a look at the overall application, or it's not really even an application, it's more of a website that you can save as a button or a quick link. That is probably the best for economic information in depth. And that's actually through Bloomberg as well. So just to sum it up, Simplex FX, CNBC, Thomson News Pro, Bloomberg, New York Times, and My Econoday. Now, you may want to track your own portfolio and use the information that's available from your custodian or broker-dealer, whoever you're working with out there. I'm sure they have their own versions. But for those of you that are just looking for raw data and where to find it, I think that gives you a great summation of all that's out there in terms of finance. Again, I'm sure there's some better ones that you like, but these are ones that I really prefer after all the ones I've checked out to give me the data I need quickly, because that's what this is about, mobile information quickly, and finding it in one place. So hopefully that helped. In the meantime, again, Frank Curzio next week is going to wrap up the year, give us some information on what to look for 2011, maybe look back to 2010 from an economic and a market position. And I wish you the best of holidays and hope that you're spending some time with your family, some time to relax, to rest, to recoup. Everybody needs to do that. Get your mind off it for a little while. Come back fresh in the new year looking to really do what you can to have a wonderful, profitable, prosperous, healthy, and just a great, great new year. All right, this is Andrew Horowitz. Again, you want to contact me, ask Andrew at thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Love getting your questions, your holiday cheer. The information that you send to me is really taken to heart. So anybody, if you haven't written me before, I'd love to hear from you. Ask Andrew at thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Until next time, have a great week, folks.
The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager. The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contain forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.